get ready.
Hello, I think.
Welcome to the Galactic Escape Pod.
Incoming!
Well, come on.
Nice of you guys to drop by.
The official podcast of Galactic-Voyage.com.
Everybody quiet. We've been waiting for you.
Everything is proceeding as I have foreseen.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Welcome, everybody, to the Galactic Escape Pod. We're so glad to have you with us today. My name is Gary Willist, and I am your host. We have a fantastic show in store for you today. We have a special guest with us. Mark Newbold from Jedi News will be talking with us about Caravan of the Force and also Celebration Europe 2 that happened in Germany. Also, continuing on with some of the Celebration coverage, we have an interview that we'd like to bring you from Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker in the film, kind of a behind-the-scenes look backstage with Warwick Davis. And also, we've got some LEGO Star Wars news to bring you. We've got some more rumors and other information that we'd like to get to you in the news segment. But just also wanted to let you know that because we do have Mark on board with us today, we would like to let you know the episode will be a little bit longer than normal. Our last episode had a lot of coverage with Celebration, and it did run a little bit longer than we normally do. But I think you'll find that this episode will be worth it and that we will get you right into the interviews as soon as possible. So let's go ahead and get into the news.
Do you know what's going on? Maybe it's another drill.
What if he doesn't survive? He's worth a lot to me.
Alright, move along.
So we now have LEGO Star Wars The Yoda Chronicles, and the next episode of this is going to be called Menace of the Sith. LEGO Jedi, Sith, and Clones Return. LEGO Star Wars The Yoda Chronicles, a three-part animated special filled with action and humor, continues with Menace of the Sith, premiering on Wednesday, September 4th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Cartoon Network. In Menace of the Sith, Darth Sidious shows off the new Sith clone, Jek 14, an extremely powerful weapon of the dark side. However, Jek has a mind of his own and wants to be his own master. It's up to Yoda and the Jedi to stop the Sith, and to try and bring Jek 14 to the side of good. The Yoda Chronicles is written by Michael Price, who did The Simpsons, and produced by Will Film, and marks, for the first time, entirely new Star Wars characters and vehicles that have been created specifically for LEGO Star Wars. So be sure to stay tuned for that episode of Menace of the Sith from LEGO Star Wars. Now, as we continue on with our Star Wars Celebration Europe coverage, we listen to host Warwick Davis and the legendary Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker, share some memories from the making of Return of the Jedi as they are backstage in this interview.
I'm here with Mark Hamill backstage at Celebration Europe. Yeah. We just come from your show. Yeah. It was fantastic. One thing I didn't ask you out there.
Well,
this year we celebrate the 30th anniversary of Return of the Jedi.
Correct.
A film that I was involved with as well. It's where I first met you.
Right.
What memories have you got of the film and me? And then I'll tell you a memory I have of you.
All right. I remember thinking that a certain creeping cynicism had infected the principal actors, in the sense that, you know, oh gosh, it's the third and final piece, let's get on with it and get it over with. Which, you know, I mean, I didn't want to be the, you know, like the pep squad leader, but I, you know, it was hard to go and say, come on, guys, let's get into it, it's our last hurrah. And sitting outside a soundstage, whizzing at us with amazing skill, was this young boy who was just incredibly skilled on these roller skates, just flying along like a superhero or something. Oh my God, who's that? You know, well, that's the guy who's going to play the Ewok. He's going to play Wicket. And I said, he looks like he's a baby. He looks like he's 6 years old or something. No. He's grown up. He's like 10 or 11.
That's right, yeah.
But what I thought was so great about it was the first time that we had someone who was a fan originally, who now was part of the family, which was a breath of fresh air in a way. And it was very hard for all the grown-ups to be so jaded around somebody that was just so full of just beaming with enthusiasm and joy.
I was so excited to be there.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, I mean, it was just wonderful. And you were just so funny. And we just all loved you so much.
Do you remember that you said to me, do you collect Star Wars toys? And I said, yeah, I do have a few. And he said, well, write down the things that you haven't got, the things that you might want, and I'll see what I can do. Well, I remember, rather embarrassingly now thinking about it, I filled up two sheets of paper full of all these things and gave you this whole list. My mum was horrified that I'd done this, because she said, you should have just written a couple of things. But anyway, I gave you the list. You only came with everything I had written, and I still have it to this day. The Millennium Falcon, like about 8 Stormtrooper figures, because I wanted a whole legion. I had the carrying case for the figures, the Darth Vader carrying. It's brilliant, so thank you.
Of course. Now, see, that to me is really meaningful. Really care about the, you know, whenever you start getting grumpy about, oh, it's hot in here, and I'm uncomfortable. You have to remember who you're doing it for and what the end product is going to be like, you know. And I was someone who could totally relate to you in the sense that, like, I was him at that age. I was a huge fan. It would be like someone saying, you're going to be in the next Ray Harryhausen film. You're going to be in the sequel to, you know, Clash of the Titans or something like that. I wouldn't have believed it. And I used to go over the famous monster and think, boy, if I were rich, I'd get the Frankenstein. I'd make lists of what I want if I had all the money in the world. And it was just a fantasy. I mean, I could never have it. And so it's funny. My son, Nathan, was born when we were doing Empire in St. John's Wood at Avenue Clinic, and he, you know, it was in his DNA to be a fan, because I'm his dad, and you know, he was on set, and he loved the Muppets, and we did the Muppet Show, and Frank Oz did Yoda. There was that connection with them. The joy of getting a box, in a big brown box with the K-E-N-N-E-R.
Yeah.
That was one of his first words as a toddler. He'd go, Kenner.
Really?
when he was still in diapers, you know, he couldn't recognize mom, dad, but boy, he knew Kenner. And I used to tell them, I said, you know, you're very lucky, because, you know, not most of the kids at your school can't have all these toys. It's too expensive. We're just really, really, really lucky that we're on a comp list.
So, Mark, thank you for joining us here at Celebration Europe and also here online at StarWars.com. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Warren.
Now, we didn't get a whole lot of information about anything from Celebration Europe 2 or San Diego Comic-Con or D23, but the website Bleeding Cool did have some interesting comments to say and gives us a little bit of hope if their sources are correct. And they said, quote, "Now, I've seen evidence, solid evidence, that certain key cast members have signed on for Episode 7. Nobody surprising, mind you. Negotiations are still ongoing with other actors, though, and that is as good a reason as any for Disney and Lucasfilm to sit tight on the returning cast announcements. I understand why they might be quiet right now." They also went on to say, "And I don't expect the studio to give us a title for the film as of yet. While I'm fully sure that they have one in mind, it would be foolhardy to commit to it while the project is still in development. If they're not 100% that they want this title, then it only makes sense to take some time, breathe a little, and wait and see if it's going to change. There is an awful lot of concept out there for the film already in existence, not to mention some of the early FX works in model and CG form. Showing some of this off, however, would have been like putting the cart before the horse. This is a detail and shading to come later, not something to be thrown out of context. And again, all of these designs are still in development, and many of them would be intensively spoilerish. So, again, this is from Bleeding Cool website, and so they make some good points here. We don't want to get some information that's too quick and too easy for us to have out there, and then either it gives some things away that are plot points, or puts the cart before the horse, and makes us feel like it's kind of out of place, and we don't really understand it. So, it's hard to be patient. I know we're all having a hard time doing that, but I will stick by that and try and be as patient as possible, and as soon as we have some good, solid information, we'll go ahead and bring that to you. In more Episode 7 news, and this one is a big rumor, and so we'll keep it as that as so far, that Ian McDiarmid is looking to possibly come back for Episode 7. Now, we know that he was just at Celebration, and we've had some interviews that we've heard from him and his willingness to participate either in Episode 7 or in any of the spinoff films. But our friends at Jedi News have solidified this as a rumor, and they say that Ian McDiarmid, who played the Emperor, and Senator Palpatine will be making a return appearance in Episode 7. So how, do you ask, that he's going to happen? Well, of course, if there was a new Sith wannabe out there and they wanted to learn the ways of the dark side, you could see Palpatine giving lessons, perhaps, in a Sith holocron, or some means of hologram. You know that also that Darth Maul was cut in half, and he returned in the Clone Wars, and all we saw in Return of the Jedi was the Emperor falling. Now, we know that he had already jumped great distances, and so it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that he could have survived. I know the folks at Jedi News do their homework, and we'll be speaking with Mark Newbold in just a few moments, but I want to go ahead and give some weight to this rumor. But, of course, we'll just have to wait and see what Lucasfilm or Disney has to say on that. But that would definitely be interesting plot point and news to see that Ian McDiarmid would return for Episode 7. So we'll bring you more news and information as soon as we have it. In gaming news, from Star Wars The Old Republic, they have a game update coming out, number 2.3, called Titans of Industry. This one will let you explore the secrets of the Zerka Corporation's CZ-198 labs. You can fight savage creations to recover deadly weapons, and earn exciting rewards in two brand new level 55 flashpoints. Now let's take a listen to a little bit more about this particular game update.
Welcome to CZ-198.
CZ-198 has some of Zerka's oldest, darkest secrets. It's a genuine threat.
Take CZ-198, and Zerka's most exquisite projects will belong to the Emperor.
I built CZ-198 up from nothing. The Republic wants to drain Zerka's lifeblood. The Empire wants us in chains. What doesn't destroy us will drive us. Without Zerka, this galaxy would be nothing. CZ-198 is mine.
So, go ahead, it's now live, and you can go into the game update for 2.3. It's called The Titans of Industry for Star Wars The Old Republic. Now for the point in this podcast that we've all been waiting for, let's head on over to the briefing room and have a discussion with Mark Newbold of Jedi News, also a contributor to StarWars.com website, and a contributor to the Star Wars Insider magazine. So let's head on over to the briefing room and have a chat with Mark.
Scanner control. 5-3, upper bay door. 5-3, upper bay door.
Well, welcome to the briefing room, everybody. I just wanted to welcome today Mark Newbold back to the podcast. It's been a few months since he's been on with us. Welcome back, Mark.
Hi there, Gary. Good to be back. Always good to be here.
Glad to have you with us, as usual. And just wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit about some of the things that have been going on. Of course, it's hard to believe that we were just a few weeks ago thinking about looking forward to Comic-Con, and then we were looking forward to Celebration Europe 2 and even D23 that was coming up. And now all these events have passed, at least as far as Star Wars is concerned. And so there's probably lots to talk about, and I'd like to definitely pick your brain a little bit about that. And the first thing I'd like to start off with is if you could just tell us a little bit about Caravan of the Force. I know that this was a big thing that was posted all over everybody's sites, and of course at the official Star Wars site, and just wanted to help everybody understand a little bit more about what that was and what part you all played in that.
Yeah, it was something that we came up with at the back end of Celebration 6, actually. We were just trying to think of something we could do. With Celebration coming back to Europe, we wanted to do something special, not just sort of hop on a plane or hop on a ferry or do the standard thing. We thought we'd try and do something a little bit outside the box. So we threw some ideas around there and then, and gave us enough of an idea to sort of all go away and come up with more ideas, which percolated down into doing the caravan. So we decided to get to the vehicles to go across Europe, which Lucasfilm were happy to sort of work with us to achieve. But then the real task was going away and finding the sponsors and getting the team together, which was harder than you'd imagine, actually. You'd think saying the words Lucasfilm and Disney would open a lot of doors, but surprisingly, it didn't.
Oh,
because,
wow.
We're in a tough economy at the moment, and all these big companies are watching their budgets like crazy. So a lot of persistence from James, my co-owner at Jedi News, opened a lot of doors for us. And it wasn't until about sort of 10, 12 days before Celebration actually began, we were able to announce it. So it was quite a late... sort of late coming to the party, really, but a lot of things have been in place for a while, and there you go. So with the help of the official site and the official blog, we were able to get the word out, and a lot of fellow sites were very kind in spreading the news as well. So, we just about managed to pull it off.
So you said that you were having some trouble getting sponsors with being, having the big names behind you. Who were some of the sponsors that you all had?
Well, we used Hyundai. God bless Hyundai for providing the vehicles, because we wouldn't have been able to do the trip without them. They were pretty much the last people to come on board, and really the most important to many in many respects, because they were providing the vehicles. So they gave us two fantastic Hyundai Santa Fe's seven-seater vehicles, which were just a dream to drive. And they put all the livery on the vehicles as well. P&O Ferries got us across the channel, first class no less. We had Vodafone do our communications, so they provided a couple of phones and a tablet for us to use. We stopped in Holiday Inns. They provided some of the rooms as well. I know I'm missing somebody, and it's dropped right out of my head. Who else was it now?
Well, maybe you can come back to them if you remember them
later. Yeah, come back to me. I'll get to... Oh, Toys R Us, the most important.
The most important one.
Toys R Us. We did an event at Brent Cross here in the UK to launch the Black Series.
Uh-huh.
And it was the European launch of the Black Series, and it was in conjunction with Toys R Us, and who are now a site sponsor for Jedi News, I'm very pleased to say. So
we did a lot of work with those.
Yeah, nice banners as well.
Yeah, they look great.
Really fantastic. Yeah, so they've really worked with us fantastically, and we're hoping, we're confident that it's a relationship that's going to sort of carry on forward throughout the coming years, because goodness knows we've all got plenty to look forward to. There's a lot to do, and if you've got a good partner, then you work with them. So.
So yeah. How did you go about actually, recruiting these sponsors? So, what is that like to try and do? Walk us through that process.
Daunting, really daunting. Because I mean, let's pick the vehicles for example. The vehicles, you start off and you've got a wish list amongst the team of what you want and what you require, and then you kind of reality hits home of what you're actually going to be able to get. And then you go out and start hitting all the various vehicle companies, and some say no straight away, and some say yes, let's talk about it, and it goes on, and it goes on, and as I say, it just we'd got at least two other sponsors who all but said yes, and then let us down at the last minute, and so because time was against us, we went looking for other people, and Hyundai was so receptive and so open and willing to help that. you know, we kind of wish we'd just gone straight to them in the first place, because we'd have been really much better set. And if we ever do it again, and we hope to do something similar again in the future, they're the first people we'll go to, because, as I say, they couldn't help enough, and the vehicles they provided were brilliant. And yeah, but it's hard work, because even though you're doing something for charity, which it's all for Make-A-Wish, you know, and we're a site that's been around for a while, and we've got a certain amount of, certainly in the UK anyway, we've got a good following, and people know who we are. You go to a company like anybody, really, you know, and it's like, oh, Star Wars, that's the one with Mr. Spock, isn't it? You know, they just don't know what it
is. Right, yeah.
You'd think, that's what I meant by saying, you'd think saying Lucasfilm and Disney would open doors. It didn't open any doors, because half the people are so dim, they don't even know what Disney and Lucasfilm is. So that's a battle before you even start, just trying to explain the concept of what you want to do. And what do they get out of it? Because it's a reciprocal relationship when you do these things. You know, they've got to get something out of it.
Sure.
So you don't want to sell your soul to the devil. You don't want to be shilling, you know, whatever sponsor's name every time you open your mouth when you're talking about the caravan. But, yeah, interesting. We learned a lot. We learned an awful lot.
And what to do and not to do maybe for the next time.
Totally, yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, of course, and we'll talk about it later, I'm sure. The next celebration's in Anaheim, so that'll be a different beast altogether. But... well, yeah, we'll get to that one. I might tap you for some ideas on that one, Gary.
I'm always open and available. you know, one of the things that you did mention was that it was for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And so what you might want to do, just in case folks don't know, is tell everybody what the Make-A-Wish Foundation is, in case they're not familiar with it.
Sure. The Make-A-Wish Foundation, and here in the UK we have Make-A-Wish as well, it gives or provides wishes, dream events almost, to kids who are seriously ill or terminally ill. So really, in that respect, it's one of the most important charities you could ever give, because the money that we raise and other people raise, and there's money being raised all the time around the world, gives these kids that one magic moment. That could be going to Disney, it can be meeting WWE, the wrestlers, they do loads of wishes. You know, there's some kids, a massive wrestling fan, he can get to meet his favourite wrestler. You can do whatever you name as your favourite thing you could ever want to do. Make-A-Wish makes that happen for these kids. So it's a fantastic charity. And it's also, as well as being something that we're quite passionate about, it's one of the chosen charities of Lucasfilm. So that tied up really, really well. We've done stuff before on the site, and I'd done stuff on my previous site, Lightsaber, which you might remember,
yep.
For cancer research, because I'd lost both my parents to cancer. So that was an important thing for me at the time, and now... Make-A-Wish is just as important. So, yeah, it's a great charity to give to anyway, regardless of whether you're sponsoring us to drive across Europe on some crazy trip or whatever you want to be doing. So it's a very worthwhile thing.
So how did you all actually come up with this idea of driving across Europe and working your way towards Celebration?
Yeah, we were sitting in the foyer at the end of Celebration 6, and there was myself and James, my co-owner at Jedi News, and Matt Booker, who writes for Jedi News as well and does a bang-up job of it, and a guy called Dan Curto, who's a serious collector, mm-hmm. and Paul Bateman and his wife Athena, who you may have heard of, Paulie.
Oh, yeah.
Worked at Ralph McQuarrie. So we were all sitting on the sofa in the foyer. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? And as I say, this van idea came along, and it was kind of almost like a joke when we said it. Oh, yeah, right, okay, look, you know, let's do it like fanboys. You know, we'll hop into the van, let's get the van made up with an R2 dome on the top, which obviously isn't how it ended up, but it sowed the seeds. And so, and then just the thought of, well, you look at the map, it's all, well, you know, I live in the middle of England, and Matt and Dave Tree, who also came with us, some people may know Dave, because at the Celebration Europe in 2007, there was an event called the 2007 Palatoy Archive. It was all of the UK Palatoy toys in a beautiful archive, and Dave was the guy behind that, so he came with us. He's on the other side of the country as well, so we all go down to Dover on the coast and get onto the ferry over to Calais in France. But then to get to Essen by road, you've got to go through Belgium, you've got to go through Holland, and into Germany. Well, you don't have to, but it's a nice route. So we thought, well, let's do that. Let's contact the garrisons in those individual countries, which was my job, and organise where we're going to meet, what we're going to do, you know, and, you know, how are we going to make this a unique trip, and something that's going to give us, because it would, you know, we could have been out there on the road for twice as long as we were, and don't get me wrong, the distance from Essen back to the coast, we drove it back in 4 hours, but driving there, we did it in sort of 4 or 5 days, so
right.
we weren't racing around, everything was structured and organised, but it gave us the opportunity to see places in France we'd never seen, to see places in Belgium and Holland. I'd never been to Amsterdam. I'd never really been to the continent, to be honest. I've been to the States 10, 12 times and never been to Europe, and it's on my doorstep. So just the way life is, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it was a great opportunity to do these wonderful things. And I tell you what, the people were so passionate and so knowledgeable and up for it and really into it. You know, it's totally different vibe to the celebration in the UK and the celebration I did in Florida. It was fantastic. I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
You know, you talked about the folks that went with you, and I know that the artwork and the logo that you all had was really great, and you had mentioned that Paul came. Did Paul come up with that, or how did you all come up with that artwork and logo?
He didn't. We'd have loved it if he had. Paul is such a busy guy, but such a talented guy, and he's very, very in demand, and as he should be. We were fortunate enough to reach out to some friends, and Chris Chavasse, the artist, was the guy that stepped up and said, "I'll do that." And bless him, he did, and he did such an amazing job with it. So couldn't have asked for a better logo, really. And he gave us, this is what I love about artists. You know, some guys can blast out 30 pictures and you pick one. Some guys can blast out half a dozen pictures and it's like, you've nailed that. You've nailed it first time. You know, and Chris gave us about five or six different versions of this logo. And in the end, it was the first one he gave us was the one we all went, that's the one, that's the one. So, and the style of the logo and what he did is so not what you would expect from Chris, because if you see his artwork, it's like hyper detailed.
Uh-huh.
Everybody loves his stuff. You know, he did all the exhibitor badges and all the badges that everybody wore at C6 and Celebration Europe, along with Brian Rood. So their artwork is just crazy detailed. So yeah, we were thrilled to bits with it, and I think Chris was pleased with how it came out as well. So it was a win-win for everybody.
Yes, it was definitely a nice piece of work. So, you know, I was interested to find out who had done that, so thank you for sharing that. You know, as you all were going across country or continent, I guess, however you would say that, you know, how it's all attached together, going across borders, you know, what was something that was like your favorite moments from the trip? What are a couple of those favorite moments? A
couple of favorite moments. I mean, never having been on the ferry, that was a cool moment, just going on the ferry. And we were lucky, as I said, because I haven't even mentioned, we had Jeremy Bullock with us.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Jeremy and his wife Maureen with us. So you know, you're not going to sit in cattle class with Boba Fett. So we went first class. So that was James again, pulling the strings, and P&O for generously giving us these first class tickets. So so we going across on the ferry and all sharing a glass of champagne. That was a nice moment. In Belgium, we went to a place called Han sur Lesse. Lucasfilm suggested this place because it's known as the Caves of Han. So there's us in the Caves of Han with Boba Fett. It all makes perfect sense. And that was amazing. We've got some of the pictures are up on the Facebook page, and we're going to do a proper gallery on Jedi News pretty soon, but pictures don't do it justice. This place was about just over a kilometre and a half underground, so you're basically walking through a mountain. It's very sort of Lord of the Rings. But when you're walking through there, it's a whole cave network, but inside, right near the end really, is the second biggest indoor cave in Europe. And it was like the Genesis Cave from Star Trek 2. You couldn't see the back end of the place. It was unbelievable. But just, we were under there for about 2 hours. And the guy that took us around, a guy called Albert Joris, just turned out to be a massive Star Wars fan. I contacted him via a friend, Tim Vickhoven of TK421. This guy couldn't do enough for us. He put a beautiful meal on for us. The drinks were on, and he took us in the cave. And when we got about halfway through, we walked to a massive room. It was very broad, but the roof wasn't enormously high. But as we walked in, we realised that this is where they bring the orchestras down to have concerts on occasion. So there's, you know, it's a bit of an auditorium area and water and lights, you know, sort of light shows. Then, of course, the Star Wars music blasts out.
Yeah.
So all of us are walking in this beautiful cave, you know, waiting for the Minox to attack us, with these crazy big grins on our faces as the Star Wars theme blasts out. So this guy couldn't do enough for us. So we were there, I think we were there 5 hours, but we could have been there all day. It was just absolutely beautiful. So that was definitely a massive highlight of the trip.
Are there any other interesting facts that you want to share from the trip?
Yeah, we went to the Atomium. The Atomium is in Belgium, in Brussels. This was actually on the same day, so we were quite spoilt with this. It was built in 1958 for, I think it was the World Expo or one of these World Science Fairs. and they've left it up because it's such a striking building. It's a great big metal, like globular construction that looks like, essentially looks like an atom. So we were lucky enough to have access to, it's like a turbo lift, but it's they've got a restaurant upstairs. So us and the Belgian garrison, who are just as crazy as all the stories tell you they are, they really are, we're lucky enough to share a drink up there and have an amazing view of Brussels, and that was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And then the next day in Holland, we were lucky enough to go to Amsterdam, which was beautiful, never having been there as well. I mean, we spent a good few hours just walking around Amsterdam. I'm determined to take my wife back there because it was just beautiful, absolutely wonderful. So, yeah, lots of highlights, just cool little moments, just, you know, between the gang and between the guys on the vehicles and just the people that we met. And, you know, there wasn't any problems as we went around. Everything went really smoothly.
Oh, well, good.
So, yeah, really pleased.
So, you know, now that you've made your trip and once you went and arrived in Germany, let's talk a little bit about Celebration.
Sure.
What are some of the favorite moments, if you think about it, you know, if it take you back a couple of weeks now, let's go back to day one. What were some of your favorite moments from day one of Celebration?
Day one, getting set up, getting the stand set up. That was a highlight because we were struggling to get this. I think we got like a 15-foot stand and a 14-foot-6 vehicle, so we managed to wiggle that in there, so that was hard work. I'm trying to think now because I was speaking to somebody the other day and they were saying, what did you do on day one? What did you do on day two? And the terrible thing was because we were so focused on the caravan and doing things for the site, it was all a blur. And I'm trying to think what I managed to get to on day one.
Okay. Well, I won't nail you down to the specific day then. I guess I could totally understand with all the things that are going on to try and break it into which day was going on for which thing. If you want to kind of just break it down into some of the favorite moments from the entire celebration then, if that'll make it easier.
Yeah, because I'm terrible with dates. it was, I'd say the Kathleen Kennedy panel that we got to was fascinating because it was, last year at C6, I was lucky enough to see Lucas when he came on to talk about Detours, whatever happened to that, and also the Clone Wars with Filoni, so those were very cool moments. Well, this time around, Kathy's now in the big chair, so for her, when she came out and Warwick Davis hosted that main stage and was just hilarious, as he always is. That was a bit special because, you know, it's the first time that George hasn't been at the helm, but you felt very confident that she was. So she talked very openly. I mean, she's just had a stunning career. I think anybody who's into Lucas, not just Star Wars, but into Lucas projects, knows that Spielberg projects kind of, there's a massive, massive link between the two. So it's all kind of part of the same family, so it certainly feels like that to me. So Kathleen Kennedy coming over to Star Wars and doing what she's doing now, you know, it's not the biggest leap in the world, and yet it still feels very comfortable, but new, you know, very fresh and new. So she came, you know, said a lot of really interesting things. Key or foremost amongst those was when she announced that John Williams would be doing the music,
right,
which got a huge round of applause, and so he should. You know, the guy's still out there doing it, he's fit and healthy. Keep doing it while he can. But in the room, she said, John Williams will be doing episodes 7, 8, and 9. Of course, there was a bit of a gasp.
Right, yeah.
I should mention that we were very lucky. James and Steve Sansweet are very good friends, and Steve comes on James's podcast every month. So we were lucky enough to kind of tag along, Indiana Jones style, and ended up in the VIP area. Don't quite know how we did that. But we ended up in this little VIP section of seats. And on the seat directly in front of me was Dave Filoni, who I'd never met. I did later in the day, but I'd never met him at the time. So that was kind of cool, you know, the hat and the whole bit. So that was cool. But yeah, you know, it felt right that she was, you know, in charge. And then, as I say, she says, John Williams is doing 7, 8, and 9. Of course, we look at each other and go, that's the first time anybody has confirmed anything about episode 8 or 9.
Right.
Other than that there's going to be one, 2017, 2019. That's all we know. We think. That was it. But apparently on the live blog, the official site's live blog, they amended that to say just episode 7. Yeah, so and there's apparently, I've not seen it, but there's a video montage when she says John Williams is doing the music for episode 7, and then they cut off to something else. So they've kind of backtracked. So I don't know whether she said something she shouldn't have said, i.e. an error, or she said something she shouldn't have said, i.e. you know, a cock-up. So it was one or the other, but that was an interesting moment. And straight after that was the Rebels panel with Filoni.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we all know that Dave's been there for sort of getting on for 10 years, and he did what he did with the Clone Wars, and we all love him for it, and he's a good guy. and he loves the fans. And, you know, I got to meet him like for 10 seconds, but I mean, he shook and signed so many things in the 5 minutes leading up to that. It was ridiculous, you know. So he's a very giving guy and easygoing and fun. He likes to talk. So we got a good feel for what Rebels is going to be about when that launches sort of next September. Didn't see any animatics or anything. Apparently, there's nothing ready yet, so that's fair enough.
But some of the artwork that he shared really was, you know, interesting to see. Of course, I was not there, but I was able to see some things online as they were kind of coming out with folks that were taking either screenshots from the panel and passing them on through Twitter, or later on, you'd see clips here and there on YouTube that would kind of give you a flavor of, you know, here's a Star Destroyer, and here's a TIE Fighter, and here's some scenes that you've got, and, you know... the artwork was really just... I was impressed with what he brought, considering we all knew he wasn't going to be probably ready with any animation at that point. So
exactly,
I felt pretty good about what we did get. So
yeah, and I mean, they're going down the Macquarie route. You know, they're definitely going to be heavily influenced by the Ralph Macquarie style, which, you know, as the guy that originated the look of Star Wars in the first place, that's not a bad template to follow, is it? So.
No. You can't go wrong with that, for sure. And, of course, it's something very familiar that everybody will know. And so I think that will be a big hit either way. I know a lot of folks were probably a little disappointed it won't be like the style of Clone Wars, but I think it will have its own style, and everybody will just fall right into that and not have any issues with it at all.
I think so. I agree. I think if they'd have stuck with the same Clone Wars style as finessed it as it had got, and it would only ever have got better if they'd have kept doing it.
Sure.
I'm glad they're going for a different style. I think they should. I mean, they never said it on the stage. Filoni never said it on the stage, but from what I understand, he did actually. He said if anybody's seen the film Tangled, the Disney film Tangled, it will kind of have that. The characters will have that kind of look about them. Mm-hmm. I might be misquoting him, but I'm. From my best recollection, he did refer to that film as some kind of waypoint for what those characters will look like. And obviously the ships in the backgrounds, you know, Macquarie style, so very good.
So what were some other favourites throughout the celebration that you liked?
I was looking at the Insider panel, because I write for the Insider, so we had an Insider panel. That was a lot of fun. You know, just talking to the crowd about what we've got in the magazine, what's coming up, and what sort of things people would like to see. Coming up from future issues. So that's always good to sort of knock it backwards and forwards with the crowd. What else did I go to? I'm trying to think now. Rancho Obi-Wan. Beautiful set as ever. And Sansweet always brings amazing things to these shows. And because his collection is so big, you know, he might bring 5,000 pieces. I don't know how many pieces he brings. He might bring 1,000 pieces, and it'll be 1,000
pieces. Just a drop in the bucket.
Absolutely, but it's all, yeah, exactly. And but that's the beauty is that everything. Every time we bring stuff, it's different stuff to the time we brought before. So those of us lucky enough to get to a couple of shows in a row don't look and go, well, I saw that last time. You know, it's different stuff. So that was fascinating. A lot of the amazing. Not some of them weren't to scale, some of them were to scale. Vehicles that the Belgian and German garrisons have built and brought with them. You know, there was a bunker with a speeder bike outside it. There was probably a third sized AT-AT there, and almost to scale Darth Vader's TIE Fighter, the one from Star Wars that just looked absolutely amazing.
Right,
and
saw
the Belgian
some images
guys
of that.
It was fantastic, and they got the music playing and the backdrop all set up. It just looked amazing. And the Belgian guys had brought their Jabba's Palace set, which has also got elements of the cantina in there. So, you know, and costumes were just everywhere. I mean, we see this increasingly. Costuming has become such a huge part of fandom now, for boys and girls. You know, so, you know, there was just stuff going on left, right and centre. So it was fantastic. Sadly, I never got to any of the actors' talks, which was a bit of a regret because, you know, when you've got a booth, you've kind of got to man it and be there and be on the stand. But it's just great when you're at these kind of shows. A surprising amount of folks came from the States. I didn't think so many would come from the States because when we were at C6 last year, a lot of people were like, I'm not going all the way to Germany. It's too far. You know, which I understand.
Well, and I think they were also hoping to get some nuggets of information as they were there, too. It's like, well, surely they're going to give us something from Episode 7, so I've got to go, you know, especially with Kathleen Kennedy coming. So I'm sure they were thinking that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I mean... You know, I know we've just had D23 and there was no announcements there, which we'll talk about, and various other events that have happened. And I don't think there's an awful lot to come in terms of big events. I know Dragon Con's coming up, but I mean, I don't think there's a huge amount of stuff coming now. So, you know, you wonder where they're going to start making these announcements. I think New York Comic-Con might be coming up. I can't
remember. That's coming in
October, isn't it?
Few weeks, months, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully there'll be some announcements coming. I mean, it's still happening in 2015. So, but I thought, yes, as you say, I thought there would be more announcements. I think maybe because JJ's involved and he's notoriously secretive, that's his thing. That they might be keeping a lid on it, but you've got to back it up. That's the thing about keeping secrets. There's got to be something worth keeping. So
I know you did say that you were able to get with Dave Filoni for about 10 seconds or so. Were there other folks that you either had met before or hadn't met before that you were able to meet on this particular journey?
We interviewed. We need to do something with the footage, actually. It's sitting on the video camera. We interviewed Ian McDiarmid and Anthony Daniels. I'd met Anthony before. I've interviewed him a couple of times. In fact, in the latest issue of The Insider, I interviewed him for a piece I did about Jabba's Palace, which came out really well, so that was nice to see him again. I never met or interviewed McDiarmid, but he was very easy to talk to. So I'd like to pick his brain properly at some point in the future. So that was very nice. We were lucky enough as well, we got to the 501st dinner, and again, and I don't know how, but we ended up getting VIP tickets, so I don't know why, because I'm not a VIP.
You're a star, man, you're a star.
Oh, no. So, I wish. But we ended up on a very cool table. Maureen and Jeremy were on the table, and Tamira Morrison and Daniel Logan, so those guys were there, so it was nice to say hi to them and just introduce yourself. Yeah, it's just people that you see at these different shows, just going around, like Michael Olsen and Scott Green and different people that you see and just get the chance to say hi. And there's a guy called Cole Horton who I've seen online for ages and actually got to meet him and, have a bit of a chat and get to know these different people. It's cool. So, yeah, very good.
So what do you think made Celebration Europe 2 different from the other celebrations you've attended before?
That's a good question, and it was very different. I mean, physically as a venue, it was much smaller than the other two celebrations. I did Celebration Europe in 2007, and obviously C6 last year. It was probably more. How do you describe it? It felt very crafty, and by crafty I mean a lot of people, doing the costuming and that kind of hands-on, hand-built feel. Which I love because coming from a time of being a fan like yourself, before the internet, been into this for years, you might have collected fanzines that kids would just sat at home and stapled themselves.
Right.
And the information you got was grabbed from a magazine. And, back in the days when a magazine like Bantha Chats could literally break Star Wars news, whereas now, writing for The Insider, it's understood that, it's going to have broken on the internet before you get to write
it's
it.
Post. So it's
exactly, you're reporting on news as opposed to breaking news. It's a different beast. So it had that kind of rootsy feel as a fan. That's how it came across to me.
Uh-huh. And
Lucasfilm was still involved. They're still on top of it. All the team were there, and it run as smoothly as you would expect. But it had a very homely feel, and I really enjoyed that. And never having been to Germany again. Germany before, rather. I'm not really knowing what to expect. It's a new country you've not been to before. Everyone was friendly. Everybody was up for it. Everybody was smiling, got into the vibe. It was very cool. I'd go. In fact, JediCon is on there next year, and I'm already making plans to go out to JediCon next year. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, it sounds like everything I've seen and read and seen videos or heard folks talk about is, how nice everybody was and how much fun everybody had during this particular celebration, and so it was really great that folks were just, it seemed like they were able to just kind of let their hair down and just have some fun. It wasn't really uptight, or I guess sometimes you feel, or at least this is from a point of view from the outside, I haven't been there, but there's so many events to go see, and everybody's kind of uptight, well, what do I go to, what do I not go to, and those type of things, that this one felt a little more laid back from my point of view, so that was pretty nice, too.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, like you say, there's always clashes, There's always, I want to go at this, but this one's on at the same time. That always happens. I agree. I didn't feel that any great pressure to go to or not go to anything. It was very cool. Very cool.
And for me, the only thing, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, but I felt a bit disappointed when we didn't really get a whole lot of information about Episode 7. And, of course, Kathleen Kennedy had her panel, and she talked about John Williams. But a lot of us had, it really kind of felt like, well, we'd seen interviews before with John Williams, and he'd kind of said, I'd really like to be back at doing this. And, of course, J.J. Abrams had said some things like, well, you know, I like Michael's work, but this is John's to do. And so they were all hinting at, you know, he'll be back for this. Of course, it's great to get the official confirmation, especially from Kathleen, that that's going to happen. And then, of course, that panel took place, and we didn't get, you know, it was kind of like the wind came out of the sails a little bit when she was on, she was off, and that was the biggest news that you really got. And then, of course, it's like, well, you know, maybe it'll be like what they did with Celebration 6 or some of the other celebrations where they'll kind of wait, you know, drag you along to the closing ceremonies and make sure that they give you that bomb kind of at the end. So you kind of hold on for the end of the ceremonies and say, well, surely we're going to get something at this point. You know, here's the big aha moment. And then that came and went. And, of course, we knew that Comic-Con wasn't really going to give us much because the official site had announced that early on, that we weren't going to be getting much from that particular venue. So, of course, I felt like, well, Celebration is really where they're saving up the big guns for this. So, and you know, Disney and Lucasfilm have been, you know, pretty good about giving us a little bit of nuggets of things here and there, but they just didn't seem to pull it off at the Celebration. So, you know, how did you feel about that?
Little disappointed. I mean, we'd heard whispers, knowing that Ford and Fisher, Hamill and Fisher were there, along with much of the other, you know, many of the other original cast members. We had heard a rumor that Harrison Ford was going to fly out. Obviously, he'd just done Comic-Con for Ender's Game.
Right.
So we'd heard a rumor that he may be flying out just to make an appearance and such. And as a consequence, you would imagine, or you would extrapolate yourself, and nobody's ever said anything, and it's not official until Lucas will say so and all that sort of stuff, but you would imagine that if he was going to go there, that he would have been announced as being in the film, because, you know, at the moment, you know, nobody has been signed up for this seventh film. So the only person I would say is a shoo-in for episode 7 is Anthony Daniels, because he can still fit into the suit, and he is C-3PO, so he's the only one. If they announce that tomorrow, then there's no big surprise, so... But
and then, of course, we went through D23 today, and we were hoping, well, you know, and in my gut, I was thinking, well, if they didn't do it at Celebration, they're really not going to do it at D23 either. But, you know, there was rumblings about possibly could be something going on there, and I wasn't necessarily surprised when nothing really came out of that either.
No, I mean, I've been out all day. I play in a band, and we had a gig this afternoon, so I was trying to, in between songs, I was checking my phone to see if anything had broken on Twitter, but nothing.
No, that's dedication, well, in the middle of a set.
Yeah. Totally, yeah, I'll just give me a second, I'm just tuning my bass, yeah. But I mean, I was a little bit disappointed. In a way, I mean, I know what you're saying about D23, how you wouldn't expect it, but, I mean, I do remember about 2 or 3 years ago, I think it might have been in Vegas at the Show West or something, but I do remember Johnny Depp coming on stage in full Jack Sparrow gear to announce, you know, the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean film. So you know, these kind of things have happened before. And I kind of thought, especially seeing as one of the things that Alan Horn did today was sort of say, we're welcoming Lucasfilm to the Disney family, which still feels strange that Lucasfilm is now just part of a bigger thing. That would have been the opportunity to, even if it was on the level of saying, you know, well, we announced at Celebration that John Williams is doing the music, so we're going to announce at D23 that, you know, whatever, so-and-so is coming back to play whoever, or whatever, you know, something else that we could have all been tweeting about tonight. But as a consequence, tonight, everyone's on Twitter going, they didn't tell us anything. So it was a bit of a damp squib. So, and Celebration did feel, no disrespect to John Williams, but like I say, you know, the guy's still at the top of his game, so who else is going to do it?
You know,
it was no huge surprise. It was a pleasure to hear, but it was no huge surprise.
You know, kind of back into the Celebration where we were talking about, of course, episode 7 and kind of the letdown there. We kind of had gotten the rumblings that the Clone Wars season 5 was going to be coming out in October, and that it was coming from the French Amazon site that says, yeah, we're going to get it. So we all kind of had a feeling a few weeks before actually Celebration that, yeah, they're going to just confirm that, yes, that's going to come out. It's going to come out in the States. It's going to come out everywhere. And, of course, we did get that. But my big nugget that I was looking for was, okay, what about the bonus content? What are we going to get? How are we going to get it? And, of course, we've gotten hints here and there about what's going to be handled and what type of arcs we're going to see. But I was thinking, well, this will be the place where they can really tell us what's going on and what we can look forward to. And whether it be complete, finished arcs, story arcs, and how many of those it'll be, And I would love to even see the stuff that wasn't finished, because I know their animatics aren't bad, so I would even like to see the animatics as storylines, basically. And, of course, the voice actors have mentioned before how they had completely finished Season 6 from a voicing perspective, so we could probably even get kind of a rough feel of, you know, what that content would be for those particular episodes. So I was hoping we would get something, at least an announcement, say, yes, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to get it. But again, there's another big letdown for me. Those were the two big things I was really looking for, other than Star Wars Rebels. I mean, I was really excited about that, but I kind of figured what we would get from there, and I think it paid what they had expected, or my expected, they gave and delivered. But as far as Clone Wars and Episode 7, those two things were kind of the ones that kind of let me down.
Yeah, I know what you're saying about Clone Wars, certainly, because, you know, Season 5, you know, we knew it was going to come out fairly soon anyway. Season 6, or bonus extras, or whatever they seem to call Season 6 these days. I mean, I think, you know, if they've done 10 or 12 episodes, I think they're going to do one of two things. They're going to sling it out on a slim Blu-ray / DVD box set and get it out there and call it Season 6 and wraps it all up with all the little tiddly extra bits that we never got to see. Or they're going to put it on .com. Which I think is also a good idea, on StarWars.com, just to get it out there, because I know there's issues, licensing issues, Cartoon Network and Warner Brothers and the whole thing there, you know. So it became difficult, you know, in those terms to continue it, you know. Like you say, I mean, they recorded all the audio for Season 6, and I believe they wrote a large number of scripts for Season 7, and they were plotting even further than that. So, you know, they really were looking ahead. If there's audio out there, you know, Doctor Who have done audio dramas, audio episodes via Big Finish for years and years and years, and there's no reason why they couldn't use that. You know, rather than have it just sit in a recording studio somewhere, just get it out there and release it. People want to hear it, and it gives some kind of resolution to the characters. Even though, stepping back to Rebels briefly, Filoni did say, without saying it overtly, but heavily hinted that, you know, he loves these characters, he's created them and lived with them for years and years, and, you know, some of those characters will have a part to play in Rebels, you know. We will learn the fate of some of those characters, so.
And that's definitely good news, too. Of course, we know, you know, people are really interested in, at least in this stage, they're interested in Ahsoka, and they're interested in Rex, and they're interested in Ventress, and so it would really be cool to see some tie-ins, especially with Rebels, so. You know, I was really excited about that, just that whole panel, that whole idea of where that's going and the types of things we might see there. But, I'd love to see the Clone Wars hit a DVD or a Blu-ray, and like you were saying, heck, just take some animatics you could even take still comic book type shots and put the audio with it and make it like an audio comic book or something like that, that you at least get the idea of where this was going and how it, you don't have to have the animation. You've got the drama and you've got the story right there. So it's, I really hope that we are able to get some of that and not just on the official site. I think it would be great that we do that, but I definitely want to have it in my collection and add it as a Blu-ray or a DVD or whatever we can get. Now, I know that Disney's kind of known for taking story arcs and putting them on individual Blu-rays and DVDs. What do you think? Is that something that you see them doing? You'd mentioned putting it in a whole box set. Do you think they might try and drag it out a little bit and say, okay, here's a four-part story arc, we'll call it this story, and then you can have that? How do you think they're going to go with that?
I think whichever one makes them the most money is the way they'll go with it.
Well, that sounds like that'll be the one then.
Without being too cynical, yeah. No, I think you're probably right, actually. You probably are. You're very, very right, yeah. I mean, I think also, you know, that there's obviously a budget required to finish these off to a certain level of quality that they would want to put out that would make it comparable to what's already out there now, you know, what's out there already with Seasons 1 to 5. And I think if Season 5 and the 1 to 5 box set sells big numbers, which there's no reason to think it won't, because they've all sold solidly, you know, Disney might think, well, let's chuck, you know, I think it costs like $2 million an episode or something. If they've got 10 episodes to finish, that's $20 million. That's a drop in the bucket.
Sure.
You know, maybe Disney will say, okay, we won't give you 20, but we'll give you 15. Here's $15 million. Go and finish them off. You know, I don't know. I'm hypothesizing. I've got no inside knowledge. It's just me spitballing. But, you know, I think if they could do that and then you suddenly have 12 top quality new episodes, well, you know, all the talents, all the work's done, most of the work's done, it's just finishing them off. Maybe that's something that I would consider. And then, there you go, wrap it up, Season 6, and we're happy. Because by the time they do that, by the time that comes out, Rebels will be on our doorstep.
Right, yeah, and I'm glad that there is that interim before we get to Episode 7, because I'm definitely feeling a lack of, since we're not getting news and we're not having a show that's on regularly, I'm feeling withdrawals.
I know what you're saying. We've been spoiled. We have been spoiled.
You know, it just lends itself back to the dark times when we had that drought starting after 1983, and so many people are not aware of that, especially the younger generation who've just kind of grown up and Star Wars has just kind of always been there for them. But
that's a really good point. That is a really good point, because I did a blog on the official blog. I've been doing a little series called Star Wars in the UK, and it's taking you through from 78 when it came out in the UK, late 77, through to right now, and at the moment the latest one was about the Phantom Menace. But I did one called The Dark Times, which was basically, like you say, sort of 85 through to about 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, after Jedi we had the Ewok movies, and then we had the Ewok cartoon and droids.
After
they went, you know, and after Bantha Track stopped, then it really did just go quiet, and all you'd got was West End Games role-playing, a few other little bits and bobs here and there, but Star Wars, like you say, was gone. And flash forward to now, and it makes me smile, because I've thought the same thing, and you say, you know, now, here we are, we've got no Clone Wars, you know, the next film's like nearly 2 years away, and it feels like we're going through a fallow period, and it's like, how spoiled, how lucky are we? Because, you know, you compare it to those original Dark Times, and it's like, now, it's like, you couldn't have dreamt of that in 1986, but it's so, it shows that the Star Wars fandom, and people like us who've been into it for 30 plus years, can totally take on all that new stuff. You know, Disney were like, oh, let's let it go quiet a bit, because we want to build up all the excitement for Episode 7. It's like, well, within Star Wars fandom, we want it weekly. We want new books coming out every month. We want two comics coming out every week. You know, we want this stuff happening all the time, because new sites like us feed off that kind of stuff.
Right.
And as fans, you feed off it as well, you know. And if it's quiet, it's like you're scrabbling around all the crappy news sites trying to find, you know, oh, some guy in Connecticut's just made a Chewbacca costume, big deal, or whatever it might be. You know, instead of, oh, well, you know, they're beta testing a new game for Fantasy Flight Games, or, you know, well, there's something cool going on, you know. So we are, in the best sense, we are spoiled, but it just proves that we do want it, and we can take it on board and absorb it and move on to the next thing and spend lots of money.
And of course, folks don't really realize that this isn't a true dark time, because as you mentioned, there's still books coming out, and there's still comics coming out, and we've got Star Wars at our fingertips with the websites, and if nothing else, folks are doing podcasting like we're doing now and having folks on with interesting conversations, and so there is Star Wars still alive and vibrant within the community, even though we're not getting that new information, that new fix that we would normally get every week. So, you know, it's for those that are young, they don't really know what it's like to be completely sans Star Wars.
And it's so easy to sound like an old fart and be patronizing about it and say, you don't know, in my day when I was your age,
I used to walk 5 miles to school in the snow uphill both ways.
You know, but here we are now, it's like Star Wars is everywhere, and we want it. It's brilliant.
You know, I know at one point, I guess it was the last time we talked, you talked about possibly you all were putting together a podcast. Are you all still looking to do something like that?
Yeah, you know, actually, at Celebration, we got these huge banners made that look really good. James did a cracking job, because he's a bit of a graphic designer as well. And we've got a really nice logo for the radio show, Radio 1138, so we were all ready to, you know, announce it and get it going. But Celebration was such a rush, and there was so much going on that we never even really had chance to announce it. So
is that 1138 there's something out there already that's got 1138 on it. Is that you guys?
Yeah, there's a channel 1138 out there.
Okay.
And I think they do similar sort of stuff, but we're Radio 1138. So we've got the logo all sorted out, you know, that should be nice. That should be good. So we'll be ready to go with that. And it'll be, I mean, what we want to do is make it more sort of UK focused.
Uh-huh.
Because also we have quite a few shows. For such a small place, we have quite a few shows going on. There's always things down in London. There's things all around the country. So there's plenty to talk about. A lot of the actors are English or British, you know, and obviously the new films are coming here. So, you know, hopefully, I mean, James lives 10 minutes away from the studio. Paul Bateman, who does a lot of stuff with us, lives, you know, 20 minutes from the studio. So, you know, they're right on I'm a couple of hours away, but, you know, even that, you know, you can drive it in no time at all. So, you know, it's a lot of it's on our doorstep. So we want to give it a UK slant because there's not really any UK podcasts out there.
Right.
But we'll still talk about everything. I mean, all the stuff we've talked about today, it's all fair game. So, and we haven't got an editor like yourself, you know, we're independent guys, so we've got nobody standing over us saying you can't talk about this or you can't talk about that, which is nice, you know, we can just rab it on about whatever.
So, and I don't know if you're a big gamer or not, but I know another little bit of nugget of information that's been kind of floating out there is the new Star Wars Battlefront, and that's a game that's been always close to my heart. I've played number one, and then I still play online regularly, the number two, with folks on the community, so... I'm not very good at the jumping games and the adventure games and those type of things. I like them, but I'm not very good at them. I'm just an old style gamer that, you know, give me a joystick and a button and I can play it. Something like a Battlefront where I can have my keyboard, I can walk this way, I can throw a grenade or shoot a bullet, and that's all I can do. So I'm actually pretty successful with those games, and I'm really excited that they're finally, and we've had so many iterations of is Battlefront 3 coming? And then there's a letdown, and this company's folded, and that company's folded, and this is coming, but no, it's not. And so we finally had gotten that announcement that there was going to truly be, after Electronic Arts took it on, that we are going to have Star Wars Battlefront. And, you know, now we're looking at... I wasn't even sure if there was any gaming stuff going on at Episode 7, if there was even going to be something coming out of there, maybe even a little bit longer trailer or some concept art or some of those type of things, but they didn't have anything like that there.
They didn't, and they did that excellent trailer, the Hoth trailer, which kind of got everybody's attention because it just looked so amazing, and I think that's in-game graphics as well, so I mean that's just mouth-watering in itself, but yeah, you say about Battlefront, I mean I used to play on the PS2 a lot of Battlefront. The original Battlefront, because I think the original Battlefront ran better. I think Battlefront 2 didn't seem to me anyway to run quite as smoothly, but
right.
It was still a hell of a game. But Battlefront 1 was just amazing. That whole sequence on Cloud City, I used to play that to death. But I'm just like you. I was quite happy playing Frogger when I was a kid. Just move my joystick left and right, up and down, and press the red button. That's about as much as I can cope with.
Yeah, these folks don't remember what like Asteroids and Pac-Man and those type of things were like.
Oh, Asteroids!
You go waste all your allowance in
the Peter is my favorite. Yeah.
You go waste all your money in the arcade.
Yeah.
Now they're spoiled and they have their own game systems at home.
Different age, isn't it? These kids don't know they were born.
But at least, you know, we've got that Battlefront coming. And they said last thing I'd heard was that Battlefront was coming on 2015. So I guess we'll have not only the release of the movie, but we'll also have Battlefront. And I'll just be, like, overloaded with sensory, with the Rebels going on and the movie going on and then this game going on. I'm just going to be completely immersed in Star Wars.
They might do what they did, though. If you think back to when Episode 3 came out, and if I remember, I think Battlefront 2 came out pretty much the same time. Yeah, you know, within a very short space of time, they came pretty much together. So they
right.
might just look back and think, well, let's kind of marry Battlefront, because they're not calling it Battlefront 3, are they? It's just Battlefront. Marry
right,
Battlefront
yeah.
with Episode 7, so it works for me.
Any other things that have happened in Celebration you want to talk about?
I'll tell you one thing that I did notice as well. Patches. I don't know if you've ever collected patches, but I like getting them, and I've got a few in my collection, and it's very interesting. But it's one of those things that, you know, you'll never have every patch, so I think, well, just grab a few. But I was so amazed at what the intense levels that people will go to get these patches, and a friend of mine, who I will not name because he will slap me, has become almost like Gollum-like obsessed with patches. I think every time he sees a patch, he thinks it's the ring from Lord of the Rings. It's just, he has to have it. And it's just made me smile watching the patch collectors, the fervour that they've got for collecting these basically pretty pieces of cloth. Now, I've seen a few that I like myself, and you know, you'll go and pay a bit and grab one. But that really opened my eyes at Celebration, that the whole patch collecting thing really seems to have taken off. And maybe it's always been that way, and I've just never noticed it because I'm not into it myself. But that was a bit of an eye-opener. But... No, I'll just say, wrapping up Celebration, I'll just say it was a great event. I think Reed and Lucasfilm were very pleased, and so they should be. And if Celebration ever returns to Europe, then Essen's not a bad place to take it. So
it sounds like everybody had a good time.
It was a good weekend. It was a good weekend, and I think what Lucasfilm's been really smart in that they've, because it's Disney's decision to break news about Star Wars now, not Lucasfilm. But I think Lucasfilm are quite cute in that within a week of Essen finishing, they're straight onto Anaheim, and already it feels like Essen, well done, box it off, goodbye.
Right. Yep.
And now the countdown clock has started for Anaheim, and they were really clever doing that with the tickets. you know.
While the hype is up.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But I can understand people going, oh, I don't know, where am I going to be in 2 years' time? You know, it does feel like a long way away, but, you know, makes sense. I get why they've done it.
Well, and, you know, I think it was Celebration 6 that we got to kind of live it for a while. You know, there were things coming out on the internet and people were talking about it. And I would say for at least a good month, we were getting, you know, different views of panels and different interviews and people seeing things. So I felt like it kind of continued for a while after. But as you said, yeah. it feels like this one was just, okay, closing ceremonies, we're done. Everything ceases, yeah. And now we're moving on. And so in a way, I'm kind of sad about that. I've kind of enjoyed how they did that with Celebration 6, that they kind of cook a while.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. That's a good point. We did a lot of coverage on C6, but it gave us time once we got back to sit down and write up our reports and get our indexes organised and the galleries done and roll it out sort of 2 or 3 weeks after, and it still felt like it was relevant, fresh news. But doing that with Essen, we will do it because that's how we do it. But
right.
With Essen, it'll feel like people will be like... Meh. That's gone now. So.
That's old Anaheim, news. Old
way,
news.
It's all good. Looking forward to that.
It sounds like already looking forward to Anaheim, as you'd mentioned when we first got started, that Anaheim's totally. On the way, and it sounded like when I had read some things online, they opened up the tickets, and the VIP tickets were gone in like 2 minutes. So it's amazing how quickly, even an event that's a couple of years away, that folks are just right on it and said, you know, I want to attend that event. It's going to happen right before... Episode 7 releases, so there's got to be lots of good stuff going on right before that.
I think they'll probably launch the second trailer if it's in April and the film comes out in May, which we assume it will be. Then, you know, I think you can be looking at a second trailer. You can be looking at a lot of the cast being there, you know, and I think that's going to be the mother of all celebrations. I think it really will be. I'm certainly going to be there.
I can't imagine you wouldn't be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, hoping you'll be there as well.
Well, that's opposite side of the country for me. I can't imagine I'll get to go, but I'll live vicariously through with everybody else. So, you know, before I let you go, is there anything that's coming up at Jedi News or say StarWars.com that you're working on, or maybe even the Star Wars Insider that you want to let fans know about?
In terms of Jedi News, it's business as usual now. We're all getting back after you know a busy convention period, so we're trying to get back into the swing of things there. But we're still, and I've been saying this on podcasts for about 3 years, we're still going to hopefully redesign the site, so the site will look a little bit different. But we've never really had time to sit down and get around to it, but that's definitely top of the agenda. In terms of the blog, there's going to be another Star Wars in the UK article coming up fairly soon about Episode 2 and 3. I've done a piece with Tim Vickoven of TK421 about the animals of Star Wars, so that should be on pretty soon as well.
I think it was Friday. I saw the creatures of Star Wars and stuff that had just come up.
That was a slightly different one, actually. Tim did that one, and I think he worked with Pablo Hidalgo on that to some degree. That's one of Tim's standalone ones, but it should be the next one. It's me and Tim have done that one together. So,
oh, okay.
So that's going to be fun, so I'm looking forward to seeing that, because it was an interesting little piece. And in terms of the Insider, I do the Red 5 and My Star Wars sections and bits on Launchpad, but I'm working on another article. I've done... Let me get myself straight now. I did a piece back in 2010 on the characters and cast and crew of Empire. Piece about Attack of the Clones last year. Piece about Jabba's Palace in the latest issue, 143. And I'm now working on a piece about another location and another film, which I won't say. But these things take about a year to pull together, strangely enough. So I'm well into working on that one. So it's all good. Busy, but good.
Always good stuff. Well, Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time today to come out and, you know, give fans, folks, and the inside perspective, really, of Caravan of the Force. Because, you know, I know that you guys have talked a little bit about Caravan of the Force on some other places, but, you know, I really kind of wanted to get the behind the scenes a little bit on that so folks would have that opportunity. And then, of course, your kind of behind the scenes look at Celebration 2 and some of the things that you like. So we really appreciate you taking your time and coming on today. You know, one of the things also, we talked about Make-A-Wish earlier in the podcast that, you know, if folks wanted to still donate to this particular Make-A-Wish Foundation cause that you had, how can the folks go about doing that?
You can go onto your internet and type in www.justgiving.com/caravan-of-the-force. That's the place to go. You can donate whatever you want to donate there. If you're in the UK and you're listening to this, you can text. It's 770 and you type COTF77. and then that gives you an option to donate a certain amount, so you just donate whatever you want there via text. So we're about 50% towards our target. We're aiming for £5,000 for the year, so we're nearly at 50%. So we've done pretty well so far, but we've got some auctions coming up on eBay that we're getting sorted out, and various other bits and bobs that we're going to be selling to raise money for Make-A-Wish. So we'll be talking about that all over the place. So I'll make sure to send you the info, Gary, and you can help us spread the word as well.
I'll definitely do that for you. And that's great that you all are able to keep that cause going. And whatever we can do as other sites or fans to help keep promoting that for you all, I know you said you're about 50% there. You know, I want to definitely help you achieve your goals, because that's a great opportunity for fans to not only share their love of Star Wars, but maybe with somebody else who may have had a wish like that wants to, you know, see an actor or go to a celebration or whatever the case might be. But, you know, this is a great cause, and we really appreciate you all making such efforts in order to get those donations in for them. So we really appreciate that for everything you all have done. So how can folks contact you if they want to get in touch with you or give you some news? How can they get in contact with you?
You can get in touch with me, mark@jedinews.co.uk. That's the email. I'm out there on Twitter at martnewbold1971. Regularly tweeting rubbish as usual. out there on the Facebook, which is at Jedi News. I think it's facebook.com/JediNews, so you'll find us on there. And pretty much if you just, you know, if there's a letter being opened, I'm probably going to be there watching it happen. So I'm pretty much everywhere at the moment, so I'm sure people are getting bored of me. But we're just going to keep pushing the word about the caravan and all this good stuff that's coming. We're very lucky at this point to be Star Wars fans, so it's all very good.
Well, just want to thank you again for coming on, and we'll share more information and have you back as soon as possible, especially as events start unfolding. I'm sure we'll have lots more to talk about real soon. So thanks again, Mark, for coming on.
My pleasure. Anytime, mate. Thank you.
Take care, Mark.
Brilliant. Thanks, Gary. All the best.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. Now it's time for the story of The Empire Strikes Back LP from 1980. When we last left off, Luke Skywalker was on his way to Cloud City, and Darth Vader had set a trap for him in the carbon-freezing chamber. Then he had told Lando Calrissian to take Leia and the Wookiee to his ship. So let's go ahead and pick up with the action in the story.
As the stormtroopers escort the rebels to the Imperial Star Destroyer, they catch sight of Luke and R2-D2, who have come in search of their friends.
Luke! Go to the trap! Hit the trap!
But in the confusion of the ensuing laser fight, Luke is oblivious to her warning and ducks into a darkened chamber. Immediately, the door closes behind him.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker. But you are not a Jedi yet.
The Dark Lord's plan has worked to perfection. They draw their lightsabers. As the stormtroopers hurry their captives down the corridor, Lando executes his own plan. Summoned by a secret signal, his men overpower the Imperial troopers.
Well done. Attention, this is Lando Calrissian. The Empire has taken control of the city. I advise everyone to leave before more Imperial troops arrive.
What do you think you're doing?
Getting out of here. This way.
Fighting their way through Imperial reinforcements, the fugitive band makes a desperate attempt to reach the landing platform.
Archer, where have you been?
In the midst of their flight, two old friends are reunited.
We're trying to save Han from the bounty hunter. Well, at least you're still in one piece. But what happened to me?
Under fire, they dash across the landing platform, finally reaching their only hope of escape, the Millennium Falcon.
Leia! Go!
Vader's troops watch helplessly as Lando steers for open space. and freedom.
That was the story of the Empire Strikes Back LP from 1980. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank you for joining us, and I'd also like to give a special thanks to Mark Newbold from Jedi News for coming in and talking to us about Caravan of the Force and his experience at Celebration Europe 2. Other things we talked about today was an interview with Mark Hamill. We also talked about the rumor with Ian McDiarmid possibly joining us in Episode 7. We talked about LEGO Star Wars and why we probably aren't getting a whole lot of news right now, but hopefully it won't be too long before we will get some. If you'd like to contact us, you can send us an email at podcast@galactic-voyage.com. You can also find us on Twitter @GalacticVoyage. We also have a SpeakPipe application that we'd love for you to use. Please give us your feedback and any thoughts that you may have about the show or any questions you might have for future shows. You also can find us on the web at galactic-voyage.com. Again, my name is Gary Willis, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today. Please join us for our next episode, and always remember that
you've taken your first step into a larger world.
Joining us on the Galactic Escape Pod, the official podcast of galactic-voyage.com. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and is not endorsed in any way by Lucasfilm Limited. Star Wars, all sounds, characters, and music are the property of Lucasfilm Limited, all rights reserved. All original content in this podcast is the intellectual property of galactic-voyage.com.